As always, brothers and sisters, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. You know, throughout the centuries, many people around the world have been drawn by the many miracle stories in the Bible, especially the miracle stories of Jesus, like the one in our gospel text this morning. About a woman, how Jesus came and healed her having been sick and crippled by an unclean spirit for close to two decades. Now, I want to point out that the miracles of healing that we read about in our gospel text this morning is a small part of the story. Now, for those of us who like and love miracle stories, we think that's the big part of the story. No, that's a small part of the story. See, in fact, I could even make a case to show that all of Jesus' miracle stories are less about the hocus pocus, the abracadabra, the magic of the miracle. And it's more about the bigger picture, about the better and about the important purposes that God wants to reveal to us. Now, I love a good miracle story as the next guy. And I believe miracles happen every day, somewhere, somehow, to somebody. But I also believe that miracles reveal and display the greater lessons about God's mercy, about God's love, about God's grace for us. Think with me about some of those famous miracle stories of Jesus in the New Testament, starting with the virgin birth. See, the most impressive thing about the virgin birth isn't so much about the immaculate conception of Mary, but rather it's about the hope of a young woman, a teenager really, the hope of a young teenager who had enough faith to say yes to God for the sake of the world. That's the miracle. And how about the first recorded miracle in the Gospel of John, where Jesus turned water into wine in the wedding in Cana? It could have been any liquid, really. It could have been milk or honey or iced tea, sweet tea. It could have been Coca-Cola. The substance doesn't matter. Jesus would have done it anyway, turn it into wine. But the lesson that we learn from that miracle, the good news that we have in that miracle, is that God doesn't do anything half-measured. And that God does not give sparingly. For when he does, and when he gives anything to his children, he goes all out and gives the very best. That's the point of that miracle of turning water into wine. And how about the miracle of Jesus restoring the sight of a blind man, where many people thought that he was blind because of the sins of his parents or his own sin? Well, the story isn't about the miracle of how the first LASIK surgery in the first century was done. It's not about that. It's about Jesus showing that God doesn't punish us with sickness and disabilities when we sin. It's about showing how God could and would and does restore our sights through the power of his forgiveness so that we can see his glory. That's what the power of that miracle is all about. And do you remember the miracle of how Jesus walked on water? That's an amazing story of all. Now, he didn't do that in order to propose a new Olympic water sports or to showboat. No, that's not why he did it. He did that to show that we have the capacity to show the, that we have power, faith over matter. And do you recall when Jesus rebuked and miraculously calmed the raging storms on the Sea of Galilee? The disciples were clamoring and thinking they were going to drown, and Jesus rebuked the storm and it calmed like a sea of glass. He didn't do that because he was concerned about the weather. No. He did it to reveal the power of God's peace, the presence of God's peace in the midst of our fear. And do you recall when he cleansed the 10 lepers, those who had severe skin disorders? It wasn't about the need for us to have good skin care. That wasn't that miracle about. It was about demonstrating God's love for the outcasts, for the outsiders in our midst. Do you see what I mean about the meaning of these miracles? The miracles in themselves as the small part of the stories. It's what behind them. It's what revealed and what Jesus is trying to portray and display about God's meaning and God's lesson. As much as we love a good miracle story, as much as we like the magic of it all, the mystery, the wow factors of it all, it is rarely the points of these miracles. It's deeper than that. And today's miracle story in our gospel reading from Luke chapter 13 is no different. Now, don't get me wrong. It's great that this woman, which we just read about, had been hunched over and crippled for nearly two decades. It's great that she was up and at 'em without the aid of a chiropractor. That's wonderful. That's a great story. But the question is, what is the deeper, the significant meaning as to what this story is about? Now, in light of what we know about the kind of things Jesus can do, what we're supposed to pay attention to, what matters most about this story, is that it happened on the Sabbath, on the Lord's Day, on the day where we're to rest from our labors and devote time to worship the Lord our God. It's when it happened that the story is focused on. Again, the miracle, the healing itself, is barely the point of this story. Jesus' greater point in our reading this morning is about doing the right thing, doing the needful thing in order to heal, in order to restore, in order to bring comfort, in order to show mercy, in order to care and love for our fellow man. And to do that at any cost, even at the expense of breaking some rules and traditions. Some things in life are just more important than the observance of rules and principles and traditions when it comes to healing and caring and comforting others. It seems to me in the gospel of, in the Bible, that the only rule that really matters to Jesus is about loving God with every fiber of our being and loving our neighbors by living in a way and in every way possible that brings that love of God to bear upon the world. That seems to be the only rule that Jesus is concerned about and wanting to follow. Love the Lord your God with everything that you are and love your neighbors the way you love yourself. That's something that each of us can do. Something that we're called to do, something that we can live by as Christians, as followers of Christ. So let me ask you a question. In your homes, or at your workplace, at school, out in the community, or even here at church? What rules and traditions do you obey that stop and prevent you from fully loving the Lord your God and prevent you from applying that love among all those around you? Think about it. What are the rules and the traditions and the things that prevent you from fully loving and living the way God intended you to live? Well, if there are such rules or traditions in your life, break them. Defy them in the name of Jesus, no matter what day of the week it may be. See, when someone says to you that you can't or that you shouldn't love someone because of whatever insane reason they can come up with, break those rules, those traditions, in the name of Jesus. And when your own heart tells you that you shouldn't forgive someone because they've hurt you before, in the name of Jesus, break those rules. Because the miracle will ensue thereafter. When your own fears try to convince you that you shouldn't give, that you shouldn't be generous to others, in the name of Jesus, break those rules. When society tells you that you shouldn't welcome and extend mercy to someone, because if you do, they were liable to run all over you and they will cheat and rob you. Break those rules and see where the miracle lies when you freed yourselves from following such bondage. When your own history and tradition tells you that you shouldn't do this or that you can't do that, because that's not the way I've ever done it before, break those rules in the name of Jesus and see what God has in store for you. It'd be miraculous. Why should we break those rules that hold us bondage from loving the Lord our God and loving our neighbors as we should? Because when we follow and obey those rules and those traditions and those ways of life, they will limit and delude us from experiencing what God can and what God wants to accomplish for us and through us. Remember, friends, that God raised Jesus from the dead, breaking the law and the grip of death, of the grave, so that we can see and know how bold and beyond reason God's love is for us. And we are called to be and to do the same. Today is Confirmation Sunday here at Our Savior's. I'd like to think that I have properly taught and instructed our confirmants in the ways and the traditions and in the legacy of our faith, of our church. But that's not the only end-all, be-all of it. It is just their starting point. It is their beginning point. And so I say to you, dear friends, and especially to you, confirmants, since we can't heal every disease in the world, with the Holy Spirit at work in each of us, we can love and we can care for one another through the sicknesses, through the struggles, through the hardships, and through the sadness that we face in life. And that's a miracle in and of itself. I find it very miraculous that many of us made it through, lived through the pandemic, struggling with one another, with our neighbors and our friends and our families, and accompanying them in their struggles, in their weaknesses, and in their sickness, and came out by the grace of God. That's the miracle. Yes, since we can't change, nor can we control the weather, We can trust that God's abiding presence is with us when the storms of this life rages around us. That's miraculous in and of itself, to have the peace of God that comforts and that surpasses all understanding on the tumultuous seas of life. And no, we can't undo every sin or change every sinner. Jesus can. But we can accept and offer forgiveness to one another. And that's no small feat, folks. Now, we can't walk on water like Jesus did, but we can sure get out of the safety of our boats and reach out to the outcasts and the outsiders and welcome them in. And that works wonders in the lives of God's people. Yes, like the woman in today's gospel reading, living in a world full of so many rules and too much fear and so much sadness and confusions, I pray that you would know that you have been set free, that you have been loosed, that you have been set free from all sorts of bondage that would otherwise cripple, stifle, and shackle you from living in the miracle of the new life that God in Christ Jesus has offered for you. It is truly God's amazing grace that affords us the miracle of being able to be who we are, free of all the bondage that would hold us back. My prayer for you, brothers and sisters, is that in your day-to-day walk with Christ, in your daily living, whether it be at home, at work, wherever you are in God's vast kingdom, that you would know that you're free and have been set free from all these bondages, and that you are free to love the Lord your God with every fiber of your being. And that you are even more free, therefore, to love your neighbor the way you love yourself. And when we all do that, what a wonderful world, what a wonderful life this would be. Let us pray. Father, we ask for your blessings upon us as we seek to live rule-free. The rules and the bondages that would hold us back from loving you and loving our neighbors. Equip us to that end. Guide us. Sustain us. Protect us and provide for us. That we may truly be the gift of the world that you have intended us to be as your beloved children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.